We're in the weeks coming up to Brighton Fringe. We're in Pavilion Gardens Cafe. And we're going to talk about a unique piece of, I don't know how you're going to define it. So Lisa Douglas is going to start this interview by defining what Frank's Cotton Club is.
Yeah, okay. So it's an immersive theatre experience. So rather than an event, rather than a gig, rather than a 1920s experience where you dress up and you're going to have some drinks, it's an immersive 4 hours experience, starting at the Warren, where you'll collect a password and you'll meet characters. Then you'll be transported out of Brighton and really experience what a speakeasy might feel like as you go along with these characters to a venue that shouldn't be a speakeasy, shouldn't be a venue, where you'll meet more characters. There are two plots that are unfolding over the evening between these characters, and there is moonshine, there's bands, there's DJs, and there's lots of stories.
So, jargon alert. Let's start with speakeasy.
Yeah, okay. So this whole experience is about it shouldn't be happening. That's the idea of the theatrical experience, is that people are going to be taken on an adventure that shouldn't be happening. So they're going to be going to somewhere that is supposed to be illegal and actually experience what those speakeasy might have felt like at any moment. That could be interrupted, any moment there could be a raid, at any moment the whole thing could be over. And as we're developing this story, it's around the 21st Amendment, so everything could be closing anyway for all these people, their lives, their livelihoods. We meet particular bootleggers that have built up this whole business around illegal brewing, and these specific characters that are in hiding as well.
So here in this very permissive city of Brighton, we get immersed. That was the other bit of jargon. You get immersed in what it was like to be there at the dawn of Prohibition.
Yeah. Or the end, actually.
The end.
Yeah, it's actually, as the story has progressed, it's about what's happening at the end for these characters that have built their lives for, you know, since from 1920s right through to 1933 is when Prohibition finished. So these 13, 15 years of what that must have been like, as well as giving people the opportunity to, you know what, have some fun for 4 hours and actually feel like they are there in this experience.
And at a time now when lots of shows at fringe festivals are boasting proudly that they come in at 50 minutes... 4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours, yeah. I mean, that was the idea of doing something different, was actually really taking people out of their comfort zone without challenging people at all, but more about allowing people to experience something that is different, that isn't an event with swing music as such, but something that is different, to really experience that and go home and go, do you know what? Those 4 hours were amazing. That was really different. That's our intention.
So I'm always fascinated with this question, which is, if you can remember this, and it may not just be you, it might be your group that you're working with, that moment when this idea was born.
Yeah, that moment, we did a video recently where I was in Bulgaria talking about where the seed started, really, was that moment of attending, without giving too much away, friends' events outside Brighton, and standing in a space and thinking, this would be absolutely amazing to draw an audience and into this experience. And thinking about the theme of the place, this could be a speakeasy. So rather than actually hiring a theatre or hiring a space and putting on a 1920s event, it was about the space. And it was about what could be really different, what could really excite people, what could really, people can leave with many stories in their heads and be part of that experience.
Is there a script?
There are points. The actors are amazing. What we're doing is we're doing lots of improvisational points and developing not only from the company's points but also the actors' points as well. So it's quite a Boal-esque experience, you know, invisible theatre, going right back to actually we've got a theme, we've got the points, we've got the plots for all the characters and all their stories, but actually how could we make this really an experience for the actors as well as the audience, that it's things are happening in the here and now. things are developing and opening in that way.
And though this sounds like a collaboration, the audience is essential to it. For anybody that's going, oh my God, they're not going to get me up on the stage, that's a very kind of practical thing. You know, if people are a bit worried about that, what would you say to them?
Yeah, there is no way people are getting up on the stage. And I think that the ratio between the actors and the audience is very different. We're very clear in the rehearsal space with the actors that isn't, in a sense, we're not provoking the audience, we're not challenging them, we're asking them to share the experience. So the actors will lead the experience and the audience are still watching, they're still experiencing. They're not being asked to do anything apart from observe and be there.
Now, there's an overused word. We're all overusing it, which is the word amazing, and you described your actors amazing. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to deconstruct that for the audience, too. What does being amazing actually mean?
I think lots of things. In terms of the actor's skills, in terms of the enthusiasm, actually, of Mr. Franks and auditioning and then being part of the rehearsal phase and ideas and actually all the actors generating their stories. They are really immense, very powerful stories. So in terms of how they're amazing, they've really come into a little bit into like how you would invite the audience into the experience. They've immersed themselves into what that must have been like for these characters, these people in the 1920s.
So can you give us a flavour of what that devising process looks like in a rehearsal room?
Yeah, so flavour would be around lots of warm-ups, activating the body, activating the voice, lots of Charleston dancing, thinking about slang, how slang words come into the performance evening, thinking how that relates, how the characters relate to each other, thinking about hot seating and looking at how their stories have developed.
So what's hot seating?
Hot seating would be, so we develop live, something called that I've developed called live hot seating. So a character will think about who's in their life and what their world is like and use the other characters to portray family members or friends or people, associates that they know. And that may move at the same time as characters will be asking the main person who's being hot seated questions about their life in the perspective of the other characters, and they will start actually on the hoof, answering things about themselves that they never thought about before. So developing who they are and their objectives in the evening, how they feel about certain characters, how they feel about themselves, their lives, bootlegging, speakeasies, other characters. Yeah.
There was a version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest that won great acclaim in the Fringe a few years ago, and that was another immersive experience in a site-specific venue, and it was done over several hours, and the reviews were, you know, I thought my attention span wouldn't go beyond an hour, but I'm so glad it was this long. What would, again, in terms of your invitation for people to see it, why will people be saying after 4 hours, I'm so glad it was 4 hours?
I think because you get an opportunity to breathe in and breathe out. How we formatted the evening around music and around DJs and around certain interval points during the evening. We've called them interruptions. So they would be interruptions by the cast of things that would happen, that the audience will have an opportunity to experience different things through the 4 hours, but have some space to relax and enjoy and soak up what's happening. So it is breathing in and breathing out with that invitation from the characters and the story.
On a personal level, what do you love about this kind of work?
This is new for us. What I've really loved about this kind of work is that we're a new production company, and it has grown as the story's grown. So each day something new is developing, and it's catching us, and we're having to think really fast, and we're having to be really creative together, the first time working together. I think that's what's been, also using the word exciting again, that's what's been really exciting. That creative process of having to think about everything in terms of the production needs, thinking about the audience, thinking about what they're going to be getting from the experience and what we're inviting them to experience, but also working with the actors and the whole production team. Yeah.
And from that creative operational directing producing perspective. What are the challenges? What are the difficulties to be overcome?
Challenges in marketing, actually, is how we can... I mean, everything else, you know, feel really excited about, confident about, in terms of the creative process in it. And it's about being creative in the marketing process. A little bit like kind of what the questions you've been asking me is how we can invite the audience to invest in this experience, you know, without being too worried, oh, am I going to go up on stage? Or am I, is this going to be 4 hours going to be too much? Or, you know, in terms of the ticket price. I mean, we've got no funding for this as well. So it's all reflected in the 4 hours experience. So it's marketing. It's getting people to invest into the experience. That's what's most challenging. I think when people begin to, I think that's going to feed into other people and they'll say, actually, do you know what? I really want to go and experience this. This sounds different.
Well, I like that word too. I mean, it is an investment, isn't it? And theatre is an investment. And the danger of things going down to 45 minutes is it's not much of an investment, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also feeds into one of the questions as well about the space. While I was thinking about the ideas for Mr. Frank's Cotton Club in the space, it was about actually that experience of investing the audience or participants to come in and experience something for 4 hours and leave with many stories.
Yeah. Final question. It's perhaps a difficult one to answer, but that a lot of artists go into actually quite recent history and then they kind of harvest stuff from that. That could also have people coming out going, that's speaking to my life today.
Right.
So do you think, I mean, that may or may not be an intention, but what do you think those days of prohibition and even the nature of what a speakeasy is and only being able to experience freedom behind closed doors, that does seem to have a bit of resonance for now, doesn't it?
As you're saying that, I'm laughing. Absolutely. I think politically, I think culturally, I think socially, definitely there are connotations with this whole experience about what we can and what we cannot do, which we're being told every day, aren't we? And everyone else is being told every day. Yeah, definitely.
An invitation to invest in Frank's Cotton Club. Thanks very much, Lisa Douglas.